You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
I'm deeply conflicted about the Christian life, and so many things are happening that confuse me. I often say I'm a pragmatic man, but my pragmatism does not allow for foolishness. I cannot understand how we say we love God, but yet we treat him like he's a foster child in our lives. We give him what we want him to have rather than what he desires of us. But now I've come to realize that the primary reason that we can't give God what he desires is because we don't have anyone in our lives that we can love. And when we don't love in the natural, we cannot love in the spiritual. This has been a fact that was established by God when he said, if you don't love your brothers and sisters, you cannot love me. And that love goes beyond what we think love is. Love, from God's perspective, has nothing to do with affection and desiring to be with a person. It is the agape love of God that causes us to ignore what a person does and love who God made them to be. But that's not what I'm preaching about today. I'm still on the study of the keys of discipleship. And as I dig into that, I'm even more confused. So many of us, we are unfortunately falling by the wayside. And I have been considering a passage in Thessalonians when Paul writes to that great church as they are confused about Paul's teachings regarding the return of Christ. Those who seek to nullify what Paul writes in the first letter have told these Thessalonians that what Paul says is not accurate, that there will be no return, and you can't prove it. And so Paul writes to them in the second letter and says, now listen, don't you get all bent out of shape because someone has given you fake news. He says, but the Lord will come back. He will come back, and this is how you're going to know it. There will be a falling away. Now, down through the years in Pentecostal expression, the falling away has always been identified as backsliding. We cannot scripturally or theologically identify backsliding. Most people thought for so many years that it meant to lose one's salvation. That if a person backslid, they were no longer children of God. Through careful exegesis and enlightenment from Scripture, we find that that's not totally true. For a person can remain a Christian, listen carefully, and still fall away. The falling away does not mean a cessation of your relationship with God, but it does mean a lessening of your fellowship. It would be along these lines. I am Eric Lambert Jr. That meant I had a father and a mother. And if I never went to go and sit with my father and mother, that would not remove the fact that I'm still their child. If I never had dinner with them, if I never talked to them, if I never spent time with them, that would not remove the fact that in me is their DNA. And God is the same way. He says, listen, nobody can pluck you out of my hand. And that even means we can't jump out. Now, there is chastisement if you pull against his direction, if you pull against his leadership, there is chastisement. But the Bible says the only people that receive chastisement are sons, are children of God. And the result is to yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. But what does it mean to be a disciple? The Word of God tells us that Jesus calls his 12 disciples first. And then later on, they were identified as apostles. And here's the problem. We think that an apostle is someone who is deeply involved in ministry. We call them apostles because of the title that Paul writes about in Ephesians chapter 4. But when you read in Scripture how Jesus named them, you will see that the term apostle basically and simply meant one sent. It does not identify job description. It does not even have an historical purpose in the realm of the apostolic. At least in the bishopric, there is substantive church history that says these individuals were called by the leaders of the church when the churches began to stray away from primary teachings of Christ. And so they began to reach out for people that they could set in these positions of oversight to keep the churches moving in line with the call of God. Throughout the New Testament, there are people that are mentioned as apostles, and yet we're hard-pressed to actually define purpose. And so we come up with a myriad of things. Oh, apostles are those who set order in the church. But according to Paul's writings to the Corinthians, all of us should set order in the church. That means that we are very aware of what God says the church should be. And even if the pastor is not in a certain area and you know that nobody should be sitting in the back drinking a fifth of scotch, you don't need to be an apostle to say that behavior is inappropriate. And so when we read about these people that Christ calls apostles, what was their purpose? You see, we spend a lot of time on this formal title, but we ignore the principal directive that he gave, which was go and make disciples. Amen. My brothers and sisters, I would suggest to you this afternoon that disciple making is falling by the wayside. We are more and more concerned about bringing people to Christ just for the purposes of saying, oh, we had thousands of people come down to the altar and the Lord really moved in there. But are they being discipled? This would be tantamount to having somebody giving birth to children on a regular basis. Every 9 months or a year, they're giving birth to children, but they're not teaching those children how to speak. They're not teaching those children how to function in the world that they've brought them into. And so we have a number of people coming to Christ, but they're not being discipled. Amen. Discipleship takes on a definition that we often overlook. We think it is the natural evolution of your walk with Christ, but it is not. Discipleship is not something that just happens because you're saved. Because you're a Christian, that does not mean you're a disciple. It means you're a Christian. Christianity and discipleship are two separate entities. It is totally possible for you to be born again and never become a disciple. Now listen to this. It is also possible, based on scripture, that you can become a disciple and never be born again. Because all a disciple is, by definition, is a pupil, a student, or a learner. That means that some people, even today, may find themselves so involved with the things of the spiritual realm that they follow after good teaching and preaching, but never surrender their hearts. This is what's indicated in John's Gospel, chapter 6. These individuals followed Jesus after he multiplied fishes and loaves, but when he confronted them about the true essence of discipleship, they backed away. Listen carefully. Every one of us, regardless of the relationship that we will enter, every one of us will face a cathartic moment that relationship will seek to extract something from us that we are either unwilling to give or unable to give. And at that position, at that point, that relationship will either get stronger or begin to drift away. Yes. Every one of us will face that moment regardless of the relationship. Amen. If it's with God, if it's with a man, if you're a woman, if it's with a woman, if you're a man. Every relationship, even with a friend, you will reach a moment when you will come to a line in the sand that says, do I go further or do I walk away? That's what discipleship is with God. You can enjoy his blessings. You can enjoy his presence. You can enjoy his goodness. But at some point, you are going to be confronted by a situation or a series of situations that will cause you to either get closer to him or pull away. The word of the Lord is very clear in this instance. In John's gospel, Jesus tells them, "You are following me because you saw me multiply fishes and loaves." He also concedes that miracles will develop a natural curiosity in you for me, and they will cause you to follow me. That's okay. However, you must mature to a level where if I cease to do what caught you, you won't go away because you love me. Are you with me? At some point, we will all be confronted by the moment when God, I call it, there are three or four substantive moments that you will have as a Christian. One is your Job moment. That is the moment when God allows the devil to harangue and harass you for no clear reason. You have done everything you were supposed to do, and you are still, using a euphemism, still catching hell. Every one of us, if you live for God long enough, you will have a Job moment. The second moment that you will have is the Joseph moment. The Joseph moment comes when you open your mouth prematurely, tell people what God has told you before they're ready to receive it, and they persecute you, and that persecution leads you to deeper depths that make you strain against the reality of that vision. God, knowing what he told you, also knew that he didn't tell you to tell anybody. And so what you are going through is the direct result of you violating the secret that God put in your heart. And so what he's doing is he's trying to humble you to keep you from believing your own press clippings. Now, the good thing is you will come out, but you don't know how. The third syndrome is the Moses syndrome. And that's the one over in Numbers 11 where you hang around too many people and listen to too many people's aggravation, which changes your view of God. If you notice in Moses' meltdown, after listening to the people's frustration, he did not turn against the people. He changed his view about God and said, if this is how you're going to deal with me, then kill me. You can have people speaking into your ear that cause you to change your view of God. He is no longer sovereign and in control, but he has turned into some despot who just wants to hurt you and bring you down. I'll deal with the other ones another time. But when you master those three, that I'm going to have a Job moment. I've done nothing wrong, and yet this is happening to me. Until you can get past feeling sorry for yourself and questioning the sovereignty of God. Don't you understand that the same God that sends you sunshine sends you rain? And if you can handle the rain with the same smile with which you handle the sunshine, then you're saying to God, watch, I've gone from being a Christian to a disciple. Disciples understand that God is a God of two legs. One leg is called blessing, and the other one is called testing. And testing becomes more valuable after blessing, and blessing becomes more sweet after testing. So take it and go through, because it's part of the process. You see, we all want great things, but we don't want to go through the process. You've heard a lot about discipleship, and you thought that meant just coming to church. No, baby, that's not what it means.
For when Jesus confronts those people in John's gospel and says to them, I'm not a bakery. I'm the bread of life. What I did for you a few days ago is not to be compared, but who I am to you permanently. You see, I might not multiply your bread and fish every day, but you know, if you know me, I'm going to meet your need and you will eat every day. I wish. You got to understand that God sends you a lot of rain. And a lot of rain becomes messy. You get a flood warning from the National Weather Service. It's messy. But here's what I've learned. That when God sends a lot of rain, that means there's going to be a time when he's not going to send much. So he's sending enough right now to handle the drought. If you ever get a financial windfall and a lot of money comes to you, put it aside, because God is telling you, you're going to have a season where you're not going to get much, but I'm so faithful, I'm going to give you as much as I can ahead of time so you can learn how to preserve it. That was what got Joseph out of prison. He said, the Pharaoh said, I saw 7 fat cows being eaten up by 7 skinny cows, and the skinny cows stayed skinny. Joseph said, baby, this ain't no big deal. He said, those fat cows were 7 years of plenty, and the skinny cows were 7 years of famine. So here's what you do. God has let you know that lean times are coming. So while you're in fat times, you ought to start preparing for lean times, because God is so faithful that he gives you more than you need sometimes in order to take care of when you don't have anything coming in. See, what we'll do is we'll get the extra and spend it. And then when famine comes, we're sitting there going, God, you got to help me. He said, I did help you. 6 months ago, I gave you that. Nobody told you to go on a cruise. Nobody told you to get a new 56-inch television. Nobody told you to do that. You should have put it aside, because when the lean times come, you ought to be ready for it. Because I'm sovereign. But we aren't taught that. We aren't taught that. 2/3 of you are looking for an income tax return because you're not taught proper financial disciplines. That if you get a return, it means you're not managing your money right. It's nothing to brag about. Oh, praise God, I get $1,500 back. If you do it right, you can get that $1,500 all year and get interest on it. And this is going to shock you. It's better to pay taxes at the end of the year than get them, because that means you made money. Look at the amens die. Y'all talking about, I got plans. Look, I got plans for that money. I got plans. I had planned on going on my trip. But any accountant will tell you. Let me move on. Man, don't even go to this church. Saw me the other day. He said, I watch you all the time and I listen to you. He said, you say stuff that no other preacher says. He said, but keep on doing it, because I'm being blessed. I said, you need to come to Bethel. But what is discipleship? By definition, it's a learner or a student. Now let's unpack that. What are you learning and what are you a student of? Paul writes these words over in Philippians chapter 3. And it's really a tremendous passage that brings the context together. In chapter 3, he says that great statement in verse 10, that I may know him. And then he goes on and says, in the power of his resurrection, but also in the fellowship of his sufferings, while I'm being made conformable to his death. You got it. I want to know him as I'm being made conformable. So while he goes on, he goes on and says, in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I have not arrived. When things are going well, we have this mindset that is, you know, oh, praise God, everything's fine, I'm doing good. But the moment the cross comes, this is what made Job such a tremendous example. When the first test came and he lost all his kids, he said, the Lord hath given and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Are you with me? He does not say the devil took it. He does not even exemplify any anxiety. The Lord gave it and the Lord took it. Then when the enemy convinces God to allow him to hit Job in his physical body, Job says, if we receive good at God's hands, shall we not also receive negative? This is what makes his story so outstanding. When we are going through, instead of looking for a reason why, we ought to thank God that we're going through it. Yeah, that's right. Just a few people. That's okay. That's okay. I know this is revelational, and it's going to take you a time to understand it. Because what you're saying to God is, I trust you. When you look for a reason, then you're saying, I don't trust you. Because if I can find a reason for this, then I can put the blame on this. Well, then, listen, if somebody walks up to you and gives you a brand new car, just gives you the pink slip, just tells you, here, I got it, it's all done, you don't have to do anything but drive it, you'll go, what? Thank God. Praise God. But if that car is stolen, you won't praise God. In Job's mind, the Lord gave it and the Lord took it. You see there? The Lord gave it and you said, and somebody took it and you said, no, you didn't.
We pray that you were blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, The Keys of Discipleship, or the program number 1218P. If you'd like to view the Climbing Higher Daily Telecast, tune in to WBPH-TV on Comcast Cable, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Please check your local cable listings for the channel number in your region. To stream Bethel Sunday services live, visit BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app on iTunes or Google Play. We stream live on Sundays beginning at 8:15 a.m. and 12 p.m. You're also invited to join us in person by attending any of our Sunday services taking place at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m. at our main sanctuary located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, PA. For more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
The Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. is part of the media outreach ministry of Bethel Deliverance International Church. Our goal is to reach the world with powerful messages of faith, truth, and victory taught from the Word of God. You can take part in this significant mission by becoming a media partner. Your weekly, monthly, or one-time gift goes directly towards reaching the masses with life-changing messages of hope from God's Word. We invite you to visit the BethelDeliverance.org media link for more information about the media partnership. You may also contact the media outreach representative at 215-885-2585 to make a donation. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. We appreciate your support.